The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Boris Johnson won the Tory party confidence vote by 211 to 148 and therefore remains party leader and prime minister. But it's worth reflecting on the fact that with the deficit between the two sides of 63, it would only require 32 people to change their minds for Boris Johnson to have to walk the plank. I'm joined now by chief political commentator with Times Radio, Lucy Fisher. Lucy, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, watching Boris Johnson's reaction, it was rather kind of stuttering, his reaction to this, but he declared himself to be delighted with the outcome, decisive and so on. It's not how it's being viewed, though, is it?
Well, no. I think it's a little surprise that the Prime Minister tried to put a brave face on the results, but it's certainly worse than most MPs, both loyalists and critics alike, expected. He won the vote with a majority of 59%. That's a worse result than Theresa May won her confidence motion by. She won by 63% and, of course, was out of power 6 months later. John Major won his confidence motion by 66% and, of course, then went on to lose a landslide defeat at the 1997 election. So it's not a happy set of precedents for Boris Johnson when it comes to this vote. And this morning, I think there's still a great degree of uncertainty about his future.
Now, we saw more of Boris Johnson over the weekend than we might have expected, because he happened to be behind the royal party at the pageant, and Prince Louis upstaged everybody present with his antics. But it gave us quite a protracted view of a very grumpy-looking Boris Johnson who was not amused by anything.
No, and we learnt yesterday that Sir Graham Brady, the chairman of the 1922 committee, had informed Boris Johnson very shortly before he turned up at the pageant that there would be this confidence vote. So in one sense, you can only imagine the emotions that Boris Johnson felt he would have had to try his best to conceal with poker face as he had to sit there being scrutinised by the crowds and the TV cameras alike. It's not a happy time for the Prime Minister. This morning, he has convened his cabinet and is trying to draw a line under the vote. I think the way forward that Downing Street is planning is a policy blitz in coming days to try and unveil new measures on things like cutting the cost of childcare, reviving the right to buy policy to help more people get on the housing ladder. But in order to try and regain the trust and confidence of 4 in 10 of his MPs, it really is an uphill battle.
He was also greeted by a mixture of booing and cheering at the Jubilee celebrations. I suppose you'd always get a little bit of mixed feeling about the Prime Minister, but on an occasion like that, surprising.
It was surprising, and I think it may have been what tipped a few Tory MPs over the edge to vote against him yesterday. Certainly some I spoke to felt it was pretty damaging that, as you say, always expect there to be a mixed view among the public. But among a monarchist crowd that had gathered to celebrate the Queen's Jubilee, you know, a very happy occasion, to hear that level of discontent convinced some Conservative MPs that people who should be their core voter base were turning against them on account of the Prime Minister's behaviour.
The next test will be two by-elections being held on the 23rd of June, and the auspices for the Tories are not good.
No, I think in Wakefield in West Yorkshire, a recent poll at the weekend put Labour 20 points ahead. It was a very narrow margin of majority that the Conservatives are defending. That will obviously be watched closely by other Tory MPs in the Redwall seats of the North and Midlands. They'll be looking to that as a guide for how they might fare in their seats at the next election. Meanwhile, in Tiverton and Honiton in East Devon, that's being watched carefully by Tory MPs across the South and London, who are facing staunch challenges from the Lib Dems. I've just learned that the postal votes are dropping today in the Tiverton and Honiton by-election. So the Lib Dems are cock-a-hoop about that. They think it's very good timing for them that voters will get a chance to vote today.
And the problem for the Tories is that both of the vacancies were created not by death, which might be the usual thing you would expect a vacancy to occur, but by disgrace.
Well, quite, and both disgrace linked to sexual misconduct. Neil Parish resigned after admitting to watching pornography in public in the House of Commons in the Devon seat. And then in Yorkshire, even more damagingly, Imran Ahmed Khan was convicted for sexually assaulting a teenager. So very damaging circumstances in which these by-elections are happening. I don't think we'll hear the Conservatives attempting to spin on that point, but I have already heard loyalists of the Prime Minister arguing that, look, even if both seats are lost, you expect a government midterm to be receive a bit of a kicking from the public. It's often happened in the past, and then the government of the day has gone on to win a convincing majority at the next election. So I think there is a battle of narratives here that hasn't quite played out yet.
But it's presented a huge difficulty for those 148 who voted against him, that were he to lead the party in the next election, all the voters, as they knock on doors, would be saying, hang on a second, you didn't have confidence in this guy, and yet you want us to vote him back in?
Well, that's right. And it's not only any longer solely about Boris Johnson. I think the deep divisions his leadership have caused within the party have led to some very vicious infighting erupting. We saw yesterday Nadine Dorries attacking Jeremy Hunt in the most vicious terms. Today, Tobias Elwood, a critic, attacking Jacob Rees-Mogg, a loyalist cabinet minister. Again, so I think the other concern among some MPs is that this internecine warfare could also be really damaging ahead of the next election.
Now, two other things lie in wait. One is a COVID inquiry, and did so many people need to die, because the death rate in the United Kingdom, and particularly on the island of Britain, much higher than should have been expected in a developed, sophisticated medical economy that exists in the UK. And the second thing is the parliamentary inquiry to determine whether or not Boris Johnson lied to Parliament, which on the face of it appears he did.
Well, I think the COVID inquiry is less worrying. I think that will be a long-term probe. And actually, a recent study suggested the UK had fared better in terms of the number of deaths than France and Germany. So, look, there are conflicting studies, but by no means do all of them say that the UK has done particularly badly. Some say it's done better. I think that there is a sense in which the public have moved on from COVID and understand every government was acting in unusual, unprecedented circumstances, slightly making policy on the hoof because it was such a strange circumstance. I do think the Privileges Committee investigation into Boris Johnson is more damaging, but we may not yet see that till the autumn, so there could be quite a lag until we get the verdict from that.
Finally, Labour are delighted with the continued presence of Boris Johnson. It allows them to stick to beat him with and to beat the Tories with. However, Boris Johnson is lucky in the sense there is no obvious contender to take his place.
Well, there's no, there's not necessarily a slam dunk forerunner, but there are certainly many contenders and many campaigns or pseudo campaigns taking root behind the scenes. Some of those are linked to cabinet ministers. There's MPs and supporters lining up behind the likes of Liz Truss, Nadeem Zahawi, many who'd still like to see Rishi Sunak run. And then yesterday, Jeremy Hunt almost effectively fired the starting gun on his own leadership campaign. There are other backbenchers like Tom Tugendhat who would be likely to throw their hat into the ring. So actually, I think there's no shortage of choice, even if, as you say, there's not an obvious front runner to replace Boris Johnson.
Chief political commentator with Times Radio, Lucy Fisher, thank you very much for joining us, Lucy, this morning. Well, yesterday, when Boris Johnson learned he had survived the confidence vote, you'd imagine that the margin of victory would have caused him some pause for concern, but you would not have known it by his reaction.
So, I think this is a very good result for politics and for the country.
Just in it's
just I do just in this sense, I think it's a convincing result, a decisive result, and what it means is that as a government we can move on and focus on the stuff that I think really matters to people.
Sorry,
and this is I've got a far bigger mandate from my own parliamentary colleagues, for instance, than I had in 2019. And I'm grateful to I'm grateful to colleagues. I'm grateful for the support that they've given me. And of course, I understand that what we need to do now is come together as a government, as a party. And that is exactly what we can now do. And what this gives us is the opportunity to put behind us all the stuff that I know the media have quite properly wanted to focus on for a very long time, and to do our job, which is to focus on the stuff that I think the public actually want us to be talking about, which is what we are doing to help the people in this country and all the things we're doing to take this country forward.
Would you buy that second-hand car? Not sure I would. Anyway, his line was echoed by Northern Ireland Secretary Brandon Lewis and Attorney General Suella Braverman in an admittedly slightly awkward fashion.
Two cabinet ministers turning out together. What does that say? It suggests to me that you're worried.
Actually, I would say it suggests unity and strength, actually. We're both in the same position of supporting the Prime Minister. I think it's the right thing for our country and our party to draw a line under this tonight and move forward and get back to focusing on the core issues that affect all of our constituents.
Yes, I echo what Brandon's just said. I really urge my Conservative colleagues in Parliament to unite today.
Other prominent party members were less impressed. Anti-corruption czar John Penrose took the opportunity to announce his own resignation.
Leadership and integrity are absolutely central to the ministerial code. They are baked into it. They run through it like a stick of rock.
So the bottom
and I'm afraid is that that means he's broken the ministerial code. And that means, as a result, that it's a resignation matter for any minister. And it also has to be a resignation matter for me as well.
And what about Boris's backbenchers? Sir Roger Gale clearly feels this confidence vote has no positive outcome for the Prime Minister.
Unfortunately, the issue can't be settled like that. Over a third, of the parliamentary party has expressed no confidence in the Prime Minister. A Prime Minister of honour would look at the figures, accept the fact that he has lost the support of a significant proportion of his party, and consider his position.
Consider his position, which it is very doubtful that he will. But the confidence vote is a huge boost for the opposition. Labour leader Sir Keir Starmer had this to say.
This evening, the Conservative Party had a decision to make, to show some backbone or to back Boris Johnson. The British public are fed up with a Prime Minister who promises big but never delivers.
So that was Sir Keir Starmer ending that segment on Boris Johnson's confidence vote.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.